from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Buffalo is largely a fraud, one of the more fraudulent teams in the NFL. Pretty sure Josh Allen is Mitch Trubisky 2.0 with some minor upgrades, but nothing special.
Wow. Yeah. Just throwing it out there. I think Josh Allen has taken a legitimate leap.
I think Josh Allen is not a starting quarterback of a football team by 2021.
You are out of your mind.
All right. Okay. I think he'll get exposed. I think as this season goes along, he will get exposed. Yeah. Do you remember that playoff game last year?
That's the single worst sports thought I've heard in 2020.
That can't be possible. I just said put a roof on Wrigley Field. That can't be possible.
This is worse.
Okay.
Dude, he says that is the single worst sports thought. Okay.
All right.
You sure about that?
Okay.
You sure about that?
Josh steps up, and he's going to get the first down. Oh, and there he goes. No one's going to get him. Incredible. Breaks it for the touchdown. 52 yards. Unbelievable. Josh Allen.
This hour being brought to you by Busey Bank. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. Sometimes things in life don't age particularly well. I'm Mark Brody along with Robbie Maklouf on the Score Afternoon Show. I believe that was the last time you were trying out for an afternoon show.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And that's why I did not end up getting that job.
Like, we got to rethink Robbie. Like, wait a minute.
All right.
Sounds good on the air. Very funny. Very compelling. But he did have that take. Minus.
But ironically, the guy he was working with is on national TV right now because of takes like that and being wrong almost all the time.
Right. Wrong on what? Every quarterback, right? Trubisky was the one, right, Tanny?
Yeah, Jordan Love,
yeah.
Shadley, yeah. Caleb Williams.
I believe Danny Parkins' exact words were about Jordan Love, because I had been filling in for Spiegel that day, where he sucks. Like, he said it 5 times. I'm like, all right, Parko, he sucks. But, Rami.
Yes. And very convenient for Parkins not to be here today, huh? After NFL players.
Way to show him, Rami.
Yeah.
Parkins, like, I gotta get out of here.
After NFL players. Now, okay. He wasn't Mitch Trubisky 2.0. Uh-huh, he wasn't benched by the following season. All right. Okay. I'll admit I was wrong about that. But maybe he should have been benched by the following season if you ask NFL players, because a poll of 103 NFL players, Grody, voted Josh Allen the most overrated quarterback in all the NFL.
Well, well, well.
Yes.
Is there some sort of capsule to defend this? Is it all from the players, or it just is what it is?
They didn't include some anonymous, or actually this, yeah, an anonymous NFC East player, I can talk, said, how hard is it to throw out jump balls to A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith? He was talking about Jalen Hurts, who finished second in the most overrated. An anonymous NFC West player just said too many turnovers when talking about Josh Allen. And on that note, there's a number in this poll that blew my mind as it pertains to Josh Allen.
Do tell.
Mark Grody. Since the start of the 2008 season, Josh Allen's 102 turnovers lead the NFL. In the last 16 years.
That's not elite.
Nobody has had more turnovers in this league than Josh Allen. Aaron Rodgers has played a whole career Tom Brady played most of his career in that 15, 16 year window, and they don't have as many turnovers as Josh Allen. Children have been born and are sending letters to get into colleges right now who haven't seen anybody turn the football over as much as Josh Allen. We have seen three Spider-Mans. We have seen three Spider-Verses since anyone turned the ball over as much as Josh Allen does.
Oh my God, Josh Allen sucks. I never realized that he sucks.
That is in 102 turnovers, and nobody has turned the ball over as much as him in the NFL in the last 16 years.
Oh, my God. Wow. Hey, but guess what? There was a guy named Brett Favre that played in Green Bay that was a turnover machine at times, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. So but, do you want to revise? Are you still saying that Josh Allen sucks?
No, he's not. He's not Mitch Trubisky 2.0. Okay, he is a starting quarterback in this league. But I'll say this, and you can, just like Parkins did, say that's the dumbest sports take you've ever heard.
Here it is. You be careful when somebody says, I'll say this. Here we go.
People just without even thinking, with no hesitation whatsoever, oh, he's a top five quarterback. He's not a top five quarterback in this league right now.
Okay. You got some. Who's
you want my top five?
Yeah, I do want your top five. Yes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson.
Mm.
Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
There's your top five quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Now you are forcing me to go in a direction that I didn't necessarily want to go in, but we're gonna do this now, because one of the things that we were discussing backstage today was, of course, what everybody is discussing. Caleb Williams looks good, and this guy is going to be terrific, and he's had a nice camp. He's made some mistakes and all of that. And I think we're all at that place because people have seen the preseason games. I have seen the camp, and I can tell you that this guy's had a good camp, and he's coming out looking pretty, I think, to begin this season. But then, as I'm talking to you, you had to take it. Like, we're in this good place where it's not complete hyperbole, right? I feel like it. I think we've been honest with our reporting and our reactions and careful not to go overboard with Caleb Williams. And then you said something that I think maybe is a little bit overboard.
Is it crazy? Mark Grody. And I was hosting the evening show last night. I said I was going to bring this to you, being our Bears insider and you know, very knowledgeable and smart Bears brain. You
don't even have to explain yourself, Bears.
Is it crazy to think that Caleb Williams might be the best quarterback in this division, if not week one, by week 17?
Ooh.
And now I'm not saying like his numbers, because Jared Goff put up, 4,500 yards and a 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. I think Jordan Love was in that same neighborhood. So I'm not saying he'll have numbers as good or better than those two guys when the season is over. But after the 17-week season is played, and if I ask you the question, you can take one NFC North quarterback to win you a football game today. Could that answer be Caleb Williams? Could he develop and make a leap in his rookie season, that's a realistic statement? By the end of the year, the Bears have the best quarterback in this division.
I'm terrified to say this, and I've shared this already, but I do think that it's Jordan Love for now, and specifically because of, we all know how his season went last year. Yeah, he did suck early on in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Comes on strong. The game that scares me is where he goes into Dallas and the Packers demolish the Cowboys in the postseason. That stands out to me more than just about even Detroit getting to the Super Bowl. That almost stands out more to me in terms of what this season means. And again, he's throwing to guys like Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs and Jaden Reed and Luke Musgrove and all, you know, these guys that are, you know, just ask Jaquan Brisker. You know, they're just okay wide receivers out there. So that part scares me. So right now it's Jordan Love. Look, good for Jared Goff. He's having a great sort of second chapter where it looked like he was kind of a number one overall bust, and now he's back on top. But the Bears play really well against him, and he doesn't scare me. Amon-Ra St. Brown, does scare me. Jameson Williams factor as well. And then you have Minnesota. I mean, aren't they the easy team to look at
yes.
and say, Yeah, I don't think Sam Darnold. I'm not really scared of that. I'm scared of their wide receivers.
There are some people who think Sam Darnold can do some things, yeah, put in the right place.
I hope he's not Jared
right
Goff. I hope he's not Jared, right?
I agree 100%. Yeah,
so I guess that's a long-winded way of saying that I do think, oh, man, I don't want to predict that it's going to be Jordan Love, but until further notice, I believe Jordan Love has taken a legitimate step. And that he'd be that guy.
And I think he did too. But yeah, like you just pointed out, he didn't just walk on the field his first year as a starter and start dominating. It was till week 10 that he was kind of struggling at the NFL level in his first year as a starter. Mm-hmm. And when I look at Caleb Williams, we talked earlier, I expect rookie growing pains. But by week 10, 11, 12, I expect him to have his sea legs. And we start seeing some of those leaps and steps forward that we saw with Jordan Love. And I know Jordan Love was in his fourth year after sitting and watching Aaron Rodgers for 3 years, but he also came out of college with a lot more questions and a lot more holes in his game than Caleb Williams did. Caleb Williams comes in more NFL ready. So I don't see why he can't be at the same place week one of this year that Jordan Love was in week one of last year. And I don't see why he can't be in the same place that Jordan Love was by the end of last year, by the end of this year. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I definitely hear what you're saying because, I mean, you're going to have to wait. And I hate that it's after week 10 that you're saying that it's really going to start to look like what we think or imagine it to look like, because we all want it now. And I know that Poles does and Eberflus does, but they are allowing for the possibility of growing pains. You know what sucks, though, too, about that? I wish, and I know this will probably crush some Bears fans, too, I do wish J.J. McCarthy was healthy and starting, because talking to some GMs and at the Combine this year, a lot of them, you know, kind of off the record, like, who's the second? I remember we're talking about all of those quarterbacks, mm-hmm, the crop of quarterbacks that are all out there. More and more GMs were saying by the end of the combine that the second best quarterback is J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
And he had, what, one preseason game, I think, this year before he got injured, and he had a terrific game. Mm-hmm. So I actually wished that he was there just to see this unveiled, these young hotshot quarterbacks before our eyes.
But I'll also take, like, hopefully what's kind of a patsy in the division and Caleb Williams' rookie year. You know what I mean?
It's, yes.
Because I was looking at this division, and I mean, I listen to people smarter than me when it comes to a guy like J.J. McCarthy coming out of college who watched and studied a lot more of his tape than I did. And I go, well, there's got to be something there. I don't know if it's as great as everybody's saying it is, but there's got to be something there. And you look at the rest of that Minnesota roster, and I'm a big Kevin O'Connell guy, their head coach, and they could have been right there with the Bears. If folks were right about J.J. McCarthy, they could have been right there with the Bears as a team kind of on the heels of the Packers and the Lions at the front of the division. At least now it looks like, okay, they're a little bit, there's a little distance in the rear view between you and the Vikings.
Yeah, no, definitely there is. And if people want to jump in on this, two text messages or phone calls, 312-644-6767. What about head coaches in the division? Where do you believe the Flus stands in the division now going into year three? You just mentioned Kevin O'Connell. We know how good you'd have a pretty good handle on Matt LaFleur from working there about how good of a head coach he is. I still think that he's probably the top coach in the division right now, but what do you think?
I agree. I agree about LaFleur being the top coach in the division. And I was just looking, actually, one of the things that got the wheels turning about that Caleb Williams question I just asked you, an article from CBS Sports where they went position by position ranking the four teams in the division, and they included the head coach in those rankings as well. The Bears finished in third or fourth in every position except for wide receiver, linebacker, cornerback, and special teams.
Wow. Okay.
They finished third or fourth in every other category, and they finished fourth at head coach. And I was reading that, Grody, and it was kind of putting a damper on my Bears' hopes and expectations and optimism. And so I asked myself the question, how do they overcome that to make some noise in this division this year? And one way is, well, Caleb Williams becomes the best quarterback in this division over the course of this season. And the other one is Matt Eberflus, who they had as fourth in the division, we find out he can coach, and we find out that he can coach a winning football team, which he hasn't had a chance to do here in his first couple seasons as the Bears head coach. We find out he can win games, just hasn't been given the opportunity to win games, and he moves up that list. I got my doubts about Matt Eberflus. Yeah. I'll admit I wanted him fired, especially when they had lost 14 straight.
I understand.
And when you are drafting a new quarterback, I said, let's just hit the reset on all this and bring in an offensive-minded head coach. But they didn't. So now he's got to show us that he can compete with the rest of the guys in the division and move up that list the same way that I'm talking about with Caleb Williams.
This is why every once in a while I have to say the following. Caleb Williams has to be good. He just has to be good. He can't not be good. Like, I'm using the word good. I want great and I want elite. He has to be good. Like, there is so, I don't know what happens if he's not good. You know what I mean? Like, and I understand you keep on taking shots, shot after shot, but man, like going through Trubisky and Justin Fields, and even before that with Cutler and all the hope was at a 10 for all of these guys. And now we're at Caleb, and it sure looks good, but it has to be.
It has to be
the guy.
I need it.
If it's not the guy, everything's going to break down. Everything's going to break down, but, Tanny. It's all going to crumble.
Grody.
Yes.
If he is the guy, but they still have the worst head coach in the division. Like, can they overcome that?
Well,
can you overcome having the worst head coach in the division?
Man. Yeah, can Caleb overcome?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, an elite quarterback can overcome the shady coaching, okay. I think.
I hope so.
Hey, didn't it get Matt Nagy a head coaching job?
It sure did.
With the Chicago Bears?
It sure did.
Because Matt Nagy sure looked good when he was working with the GOAT, when he was working with Patrick Mahomes, and now he doesn't look so good. So
you're saying if he's not a great head coach, Caleb Williams can make it look like he's a great head
coach.
That's
what I'm saying.
Okay, all right.
Along for the ride. Okay. I think that's the larger point. Like, Caleb Williams can take everybody along for a ride. He can make life easy. He can make, like, whatever PR problems the Bears, like the McCaskies, have had through the years. Obviously, Ryan Poles is going to look golden, and he's done so much for the team beyond the quarterback. But Caleb Williams it just varnishes all the issues that the Bears have had for decades. So he has to be good.
I need it to happen.
Yeah.
I really need it to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's a problem if he's not. Like, I don't know what I've been able to personally and as a reporter overcome Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields. And I had high hopes for both of them. You know what I mean? Like, I know it went bad and we were very negative about both towards the end, but I was with it. I don't know where my brain will go if Caleb Williams is not good. And I think other Bears fans are probably like that as well.
Parkin said something the other day on Breakfast Ball that really hit home for me. I cannot live in a world where Jordan Love and the Packers win a Super Bowl before Caleb Williams and the Bears. I cannot.
Wow.
I cannot live in a world where that happens.
Hey, as long as the Bears are going to win a Super Bowl, I don't care if the Packers beat them to it. It's okay.
But I won't survive that, so I won't get to see it. I can't live in a world where Jordan Love and the Packers win a Super Bowl before Caleb Williams and the Bears.
You're going to die.
It will take me. It will take me from this plane of existence, Mark Grody.
The result of that is death.
I'm telling you.
You don't kill yourself. You just die.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Like, none of that fun. Like, death.
You know how they say people just die of old age, like, just natural causes? That will just be the cause. The Packers won a Super Bowl before the Bears. I cannot live with that.
Spontaneous bear crumble or
something.
My body
will just give up.
Oh, my God.
My brain and body will just give up on life if that happens. I'm telling you.
That's what I'm saying, man. I don't know how will we handle. I don't know how we will. And maybe I'd love to hear what other people are saying. I'll check out the text line. But I don't know what direction. And maybe it's because I'm getting older that I see it that way, too. And maybe if you're in your 20s and you're in your 30s and you're listening right now, maybe you have more energy for that. It's going, hey, next man up. But I'm done with next man up.
Same.
It's over.
Same.
It has to be. When we return, speaking of the Bears, we are going to bring in a big-time Bears meatball.
Bears.
He is a man who used to host the White Sox pre- and post-game show on The Score. His name is Chris Ranji. I happened to have ran into him at the Pearl Jam concert last night. We ended up sitting together. So we are both going to get his review of Pearl Jam. I have some real etiquette issues from Ranji last night at the Pearl Jam concert that I'd like to get into. And we'll see if he's got some Bears meatball thoughts as well. Chris Ranji is coming up next on the afternoon show on The Score.
Well put.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Put Chris on for
time for the seventh inning stretch, and here he is, Eddie Vedder. Mark, thank you. Before you turn the microphone off, I know you are a huge Pearl Jam fan, an Eddie Vedder fan, and you had a chance to meet him. What was that like?
Fantastically friendly guy. I feel like I know him. I feel like we're friends now. I feel like I put BFF before Eddie Vedder.
All right, we go to the eighth inning.
This songwriter, Corduroy by Pearl Jam, has maybe turned into my favorite live song by Pearl Jam.
Great song.
Yeah, at least. And it may be one of the greatest live songs of all time.
How many times did you, we were talking about this before, that how many times have you seen Pearl Jam in concert?
Don't know the exact number, but I would roughly estimate 25 times.
That's crazy.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, every time I can get my hands on them, I do. Best show 1995 at Soldier Field, still for me. But last night was pretty sick as well. The Pearl Jam concert at Wrigley Field. And what really took it to the next level, not just the fact that Pearl Jam was playing and they were great because they usually are, is that, well, Chris Ranji was there as well. Chris Ranji, the former pre- and post-game host here on The Score. He hosts his own radio show in St. Louis these days where he doesn't dare to talk sports. It's all very serious. He is Chris Ranji. He is joining us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Ranj, it's me and Rami Makhlouf. What's going on, man?
I appreciate you guys having me on to discuss the Kamala Harris-Tim Walz interview on CNN from the other day. From last night that I totally missed because I went to see PJ, and I'm so glad that I ran into you there, pal.
Well, I got some issues with you, Chris. I didn't really share this with you last night because it wasn't the time or place because everything was jubilant between us.
Well, first of all, let me just say this, Rami. I didn't do anything. So whatever he's about to say, I can't wait to hear it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, this is the truth. How the hell are you going to be late to a Pearl Jam concert?
Oh, no.
How are you going to – why is having another beer at Murphy's more important than being to the Pearl Jam concert on time when they play Release, which is a moment if you're a real Pearl Jam fan?
You know what? It's entirely the fault of the people I was with. I'll say that.
Okay.
I can hear it, though. I was outside the building. I can hear it.
Well, that's not good enough.
I don't think that's a valid excuse. I went with my brother and a group of friends a while back to go see Dave Chappelle do stand-up live.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were all, like, you know, commiserating outside and, like, just taking way too long. I was like, I'm not missing 1 minute of Dave Chappelle. I just left everybody I was with.
I get that panic in
and
me, man.
And found my seat. You could have done that, Ronji.
Yeah, I could have done that, but, you know. I'm a people pleaser, so.
Yeah, well, you think just because you got two shows, because I know you're going tomorrow, too, you can make it. I will say this. I did not expect them to start as early as they did. I know it sounds weird because they started at 8:30 and the concert started at 7, but I thought it would be a little bit later, but they like to play as long as they possibly can, which I appreciate about Pearl Jam. The other question I have for you, Chris, and we're going to talk Bears with you as well, but the other Pearl Jam question I have here, and I shared this with the guys backstage, you're philosophically, I did notice that you guys got up to go get beer or whatever you were doing at the beginning of Even Flow. You're like, let's go. This is a good time to go. Why do you hate Even Flow?
Why do I hate Even Flow?
Yeah, what was the theory? Because I felt like you guys were like discussing, oh, this is a good strategy. Because it was, your timing was great. They do the extended version. It is 10 to 15 minutes long or something like that. Probably wasn't that long.
I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah, what happened if you remember?
Well, so there you go. You're really hitting on it now. Because you did the smart thing in life and you stopped all that booze. I did not. So I don't remember what song we left during. You're talking about Even Flow, and I'm like, did we? Okay.
That's hilarious.
I don't have any idea.
I'm thinking deeply about it. Like, oh, this is actually strategy on his part.
When I'm at a concert, I am sitting there, like, if I got to go to the bathroom or get a beer, I'm like, all right, what song am I waiting for before I get up and
like,
I go?
I understand, like, Even Flow is an overplayed Pearl Jam song that I can do without, but if it's played, I'm going to be there for it, and I'm going to enjoy Even Flow. Yeah, typically the move is, for me anyway, yeah, you go when, okay, it's another song that I'm just not as into as the others. I'm going to take my chance now. But all right, Chris, so you just made an error then, huh?
I did. I made an error. I don't remember that happened. I do remember whatever the final song was. I can't remember the final, but I do remember it was almost over and I knew what time it was and I knew they were done at 10:45 stat. And
stat,
I said to my buddy, let's go right now. Let's go now.
Yeah, yep, yep,
and
yep.
We heard the end of the song, and as soon as we did, that place cleared out, and it was a nightmare. So one of those left before the traffic moments.
You
nailed
did.
That one, though. Nailed that one.
You did. You did. You were nice enough to invite my friend and I out with you. So, oh, where you guys going next? I'm like, home, man.
Yeah, that's right. You did say that.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Have a little fun, Mark.
Yeah.
Watch other people have alcohol. It's great.
Well, no, I mean, you know? I'm not against going out. I just felt I needed a clear head today because of lack of sleep problem, which I am dealing with today. But that's very hurtful still.
Hey, I met Eddie Vedder, I don't know, probably like 12 years ago. He had come to a Sox game as a guest of Konerko, and he was with Chris Chelios. And after the show, my buddy who worked in the clubhouse said, hey, we're all going out after, so come meet us. We went to the lodge on Division.
Yeah.
So I go and I'm like, absolutely. I had no intention of leaving the house after work, but I went. And they had this back hallway room, which is like their, you know, exclusive room, their VIP room. But it's literally a hallway with a bar in it. So we were all back there all night and hanging out, and it was fun. And then I take a photo with Eddie at the end of the night. And you know, he's talking to me about ballparks. He was telling me of all the stadiums that he likes.
Oh, yeah. Eddie's just filling your ear. He's like, come here, Chris. Yeah. I want to tell you all this stuff. Uh-huh.
He's talking about all the baseball stuff, right? And then we take the photo and he says, do me a favor. I don't do a good Eddie Vedder, but he says, do me a favor. Don't put that on Facebook or anything. And I was like, all right, I won't. And then, you know, a few more minutes go by and he says, yeah, again, that photo, don't post it. And I can't figure out why. I don't know if it's because I am like a foot and a half taller than him.
Oh, that's
in
hilarious.
The photo.
Yeah.
Because I think that was it. So I've had this photo for a dozen years and I can't show anybody. Out of respect to Eddie Vedder.
That's hilarious.
Is Eddie Vedder a shorter guy? Is
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's short.
Really?
Yeah, he's like 5'8" or something,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah,
Brody?
Yeah. Maybe that's why when I got my picture taken with Eddie Vedder in the Cubs booth, he came down like
stood on his toes, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he just came low and put his hands on my shoulders, and it looks like a prom picture. And he definitely, yeah, basically.
I'll tell you what, though. He's an awesome dude.
He really is. Oh, yeah.
He's awesome.
No, I have many, like, Eddie stories that I've told through the years of little back and forths that I've had with Vedder through the years. I'm not gonna play the hits right now. But yeah, no, he is a terrific guy. There was one more thing from the Pearl Jam concert last night that you were doing that was hilarious that I loved.
Oh, God, here we go.
That I loved. This was so funny, man. Every time, maybe three times you did this. I was telling Rami about this. They'd play a popular song, or they'd start to play a popular song, like Daughter would come out, which they played. And then you'd look back at us and you'd be like, is this a new song? Is this a new one? Is this a new one? That was like your little joke.
It was a great bit.
It was.
Did you like that bit?
I was giving a fly. Hey, guys. Is that a new one? I'm like, okay, Chris, this is a courtesy laugh at this point. And then the third time, I'm like, okay, that's enough.
Who's Jeremy?
Yeah.
That was a... Dude, I am so awesome. Okay.
Seriously,
I'm glad
though,
you like that bit, buddy.
I love the bit. I love the bit. I am going to use it, but I'm only going to try it once. I'm not going to try it three times.
I wish they'd play their older stuff, Mark. I don't like all these new songs like Black.
Scare. Yeah. that's what was going on last night. That's what was going on last night.
What about
night.
An elderly woman?
Yeah. What what's all this elderly woman talk? That sounds like for really, really, really old people. No, you were a blast, man. I cannot. I hope there are open seats around me tomorrow night as well, so we can have a repeat of it. Anything else about the Pearl Jam concert? Like anything stand out to you about the show, or are you done with Pearl Jam night one?
Well, I'm a little upset with how far back my free ticket was. That's the only thing.
That's why he came over and stole seats around me. He even like tried to bully that one guy.
my section was, I was like one section over from you and like a couple of rows back from where you were, but it's fine.
Yeah.
I expect to be near the sound.
Did you call the person who gave you the free ticket and complain? You should.
No, I was, well, it was
a couple things about your ticket you gave me.
I did. I thought that was another good bit, too. I'm like, God, these tickets suck, man. I'm sure he loved that.
Oh,
no. So last time I went to Pearl Jam at Wrigley, what, a couple of years ago?
2018.
Okay. Oh, yeah. 2018. Yeah. So there's a guy that Spiegel knows, and I know him through Dan Hayes, who used to cover the White Sox for The Athletic. And he's a great dude. His name's Kevin, and he's a sound he works on the sound booth sometimes for Pearl Jam. So the last time I was there, he went and got Dan and me and took us down there. He took us down to that area. So we were in this like kind of like a VIP section, and Sophia Bush was in it.
Oh.
You know, the actress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy would not leave her alone.
Oh, no.
And I had to go over and be like, dude, she does not have any interest in you, pal. And he's one of those real loud talkers.
Oh no.
You know, and he talks and then spit comes out of his mouth. One of those kind of guys. So I saved Sophia Bush at a Pearl Jam concert 4 years ago. That's cool.
Come here, we need to wipe you off here before you talk anymore.
I did. I did the thing your mom does with the thumb. And I go, oh, let me do that for you.
Come here, you. Let me. I'm just trying to protect you, man. I have been protected before. I've been kindly taken out of bars by friends before, back in a different time in my life. But Pearl Jam, excellent. And Ron, we also want to talk to you because, you know, we've been talking about the Bears most of today. Now that we have reached the end of training camp is done, man. The real practice times begin next week, and the build up to September 8th, when the Tennessee Titans will be at Soldier Field at noon. How good do you feel right now, Mr. Ranji?
First of all, am I missing something, or is it always like 2.5 weeks from the final preseason game to the start of the regular season?
Painful.
This feels
painful.
Dude, this feels so long.
Yeah. Yes,
this,
it does.
This is abnormal, right?
Yeah, Chris, it's like the analogy I gave earlier. It's like when you get Pearl Jam tickets in March and you're all excited and you got your tickets and you got your friends together and then, oh, you got to wait 7 months for the actual show.
It's like when you plan a trip to Ireland. You don't do that on a whim, right?
You do it
6 months out.
Yes.
And I can't wait to go to Ireland.
Yep. Yep.
I'll see you in 6 months.
Uh-huh.
I cannot wait for this to start. And I feel like I'm losing momentum. So next week, I think it'll be a whole lot better. And I am excited, Grody, because I don't believe there are any Bears bars in St. Louis where I live now. But a friend of mine just opened a place. And he is from Chicago, and he's going to do a whole Bears thing. So I can't wait. I think I'll go there for that Sunday game. But anyway, I cannot wait for this to get going. I am sick of waiting. Yeah. I just want to see what this is going to look like. And I know that I'm not sure you guys have talked about this, but there are going to be some rough times for him.
Sure.
And it'll probably happen right off the top. And people will do that thing where they go, uh-oh, maybe he's not real. Maybe he's not the truth, right? But we have to be very careful with that. There's going to be growth that happens. He's going to do some dumb stuff. You're going to question whether or not he's any good. I want people, and I'm sure you're doing the same thing by telling them to cool it. But I want people to just be as level-headed as you can, as excited as we are. Right?
Yeah, and I do expect there to be growing pains and struggles, Ronji, and I do expect them to happen early in the season. But I also, and I ran this by Grody last segment before we brought you on, I also don't think it's crazy that by the end of the season, that after he goes through those growing pains, learns from them, grows from them, that he's the best quarterback in this division. And I'm not saying that he'll have better numbers than Jordan Love when the season's over or better numbers than Jared Goff when the season's over. But if I ask you after week 17, hey, you need a quarterback from the NFC North to win you a game today, I think the answer from a lot of people might be Caleb Williams. When all is said and done and we see what the final product of his rookie season is and whatever progress and steps that he takes.
It's not outrageous to think that. That could absolutely happen. I don't know that I would expect it, but I would not be entirely surprised if by the end of the season, you're looking at him like, if he's not the best quarterback in the league now, he will be by midway through next season. I really think that I think he's that good. But then again, I guess we've all been fooled before. So
true.
I don't know. I keep going back and forth between incredible excitement and, oh God, please don't let this fail.
Yeah, I mean,
which I think everybody is doing the same thing
for sure.
Oh yeah, we were just talking the little while like it can't. This has to work.
Let me ask you this. I know you got to get rid of me, but
let me ask you
this question. So when I filled in last week, I think I was on last Thursday. No, it was the night of the final preseason. I was on The Score, and what I was talking about off the top is, I asked the question: is it selfish of me that here comes this guy that we all think finally we've got a real dude, right?
Mm.
But also there are these other four or five rookie quarterbacks that look pretty good too. Is it selfish of me that I don't want any of them to be good? and not from a competitive standpoint, but just like, oh, come on. Like it's now we have one, but everybody gets one. Like everybody gets a great quarterback. You know, that's kind of how I'm feeling. Can't we just do this? It's us, right? It's our thing. It's Chicago's thing that we have this great incoming quarterback. Why do four other teams get one too? I want the other ones to fail.
As long as he's definitively the best one from this class, I'm going to be okay, Ron. If the rest of them are good, but Caleb Williams is just better, then I'm okay with that.
That's fine. I just want all the attention for ourselves. Is that too much?
I gotta tell you, man, we've had a lot of it, like with Hard
that
Knocks,
is true.
And yeah, every time you look up on the national shows, it is
not good enough, Mark. I want it all season. Not good enough. I want it to just be about the Bears. Oh,
yes.
Look at this rookie quarterback. He's amazing. All those other guys stink.
Yeah.
Look at Caleb Williams.
I will say this. I did say earlier that I do wish JJ McCarthy was healthy because I just like the fun of it in the division. Like the division, all of a sudden, Jordan Love, JJ McCarthy, Caleb Williams. But I get where you're coming from. I totally, honestly, Ron, Sanji, I think you deserve it. Like, Bears fans deserve it. Like, I mean, what Bears fans have put up with through the years, six playoff wins since the Super Bowl. Then I'm talking about 1985. And a couple of those were in the 80s. Like, you deserve all of it. And if you want to be selfish about the Bears, I think it's okay for you to be selfish about the Bears. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, I want it. It's about us now.
It is.
It's about us. Let it be about us.
It's about people asking you about the Cardinals, too, before we let you go. Somebody says, what about Cardinals attendance? Cards kind of just decided they were going to give up on their season this year. What's the talk? I know you're Mr. Serious News Guy in St. Louis now, but what's the scuttlebutt around the St. Louis Cardinals these days?
It's so I am on the Cardinals flagship.
KMOX?
So we do talk about it. We did not talk about the fact this past week, the afternoon game. No, it wasn't the afternoon game. It was the third game of four against the Padres night game. And I know kids are back in school. You know, we used to use that excuse on the South Side too. You know, kids are back in school. Yeah, it's tough to get people out to the park. but you could go to StubHub and there were, I'm not kidding when I say this. There were tickets for literally $0 available for it was the Wednesday night game.
I saw somebody tweet that. Yeah, that might have been you, Roger. I saw somebody tweet that.
It wasn't me, but we saw it. We all looked at it like, oh, my God. That's the night before they were $1. The following night, you could get $0 tickets with service fees attached to it, but a $0 ticket.
Wow.
But here's what the wild part is. Their lowest attendance ever was, I guess it was yesterday, at 26,500. That was the lowest ever at that Busch Stadium, the Busch 3.
Wow.
Lowest ever. Still 26,5.
Yeah, that's something.
Good night for
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
If think about if you're the White Sox, you're killing for 26,000 people right now.
Yeah. They would kill for 26 people right now.
They would. Yeah, well, they had 26 people the other day. I saw it.
I saw that. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was sad.
What a nightmare that is.
That was sad. All right. Your friends, Chris Tannehill and Tyler Butterbaugh, are saying, that's it. That's enough. That's enough, Ranji. That's enough of you.
That's rude.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, buddy. Damn. Unless you have some final words you'd like to share with the Score audience or Tanny or Ed Vedder.
Ranji, can you send me that picture of you and Eddie Vedder?
Yeah, no, because you're going to tweet it out, and then Eddie will come
after
me. No, I won't.
I'm not Facebook. He said just Facebook. You know I'm not on there.
That's right. He did say Facebook. Bears.
Bears. That is perfect. I do hope to see you tomorrow, Mr. Ranji.
Love you, pal.
Bye.
Love you too, Rami.
Thank you.
Bye.
We've never met, but I love you back, Ranji.
Damn. Thank you.
So, Ranji.
That's not how you respond to that.
All right, that's enough.
I love you back. You caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting it, but love you back. Buddy.
All right, stop me. That's enough. See you later, man.
See ya.
See ya, Chris. There he goes. I appreciate you indulging me, man. I know I was sort of dominating the Pearl Jam talk, but it's Ranji, and I couldn't help myself.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
A fan of the Jam.
That was a fun little jam right there. We do have to take a break. It is Mark Grody and Rami Makhlouf on the Score Afternoon Show for a few more minutes right here on the Score. And I should also tell you that Bears coverage on the Score, download the Odyssey app, search for 670 The Score, and tap follow to receive alerts on our Bears coverage. And if you can't get enough, check out the Take the North podcast with David Haw and Dan Wiederer, breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of the new season. Follow the Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back. Baseball coverage on the Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you could get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
This is the Score Afternoon Show, and the show will be live from Rally House in Wrigleyville next Thursday afternoon, September 5th, from 2 to 6 p.m. Stop by to enter for the chance to win prizes and shop the best team gear selection in all of Chicago. Join 670 The Score at Rally House in Wrigleyville next Thursday from 2 to 6, or shop 10 Chicago area Rally House locations and online at rallyhouse.com. cubs.com.
He's Rami Makhlouf. I am Mark Grody. Cubs pregame coming up just after 5 o'clock. The Cubs at Washington, 5:45 is when Jake Irvin will be making the first pitch. Shota Imanaga, 10-3 with a 3.08 ERA, going for the Cubs in this game tonight as they begin at 5 back on the wild card, just having swept Pittsburgh. We'll talk a little bit of Cubs here in a second, but there's a text that you and I have been sitting on.
There was.
In terms of a conversation, you and I both noted this text. We thought we would take a second to read that text since we've kind of not been great with reading the text.
We were talking about Tory Taylor and yes. how he's sick of all your Australian stereotypes and jokes.
Yeah, basically. Come on, guys. Give me a break.
Done with it?
Give me a break with but the snake.
He's the one who made the analogy to a snake. I'm saying this is, it's like dealing with a snake, mate. You know, and I said that's not a thing that like anybody would get. And I said, in America, we got this text from the 630. Do you two goofballs think there are no snakes in America? Did you just say no one in America knows about snakes?
That was my impression. I thought all the snakes were in Australia.
I should have said Chicago. Yeah. I've been to Arizona. I've never encountered a snake. Yes. So I still didn't get the analogy. Yeah. It's like dealing with a snake. I still don't get it. But I should have said Chicago. We don't have snakes in Chicago, do we? No. Is that an accurate statement?
There's garter snakes,
right. That's like, you know, dangerous.
Wait a minute. Do we have pythons?
That can
harm you. Do we have pythons in Chicago? At the zoo. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if we were a python community.
I'm sure someone will correct me. If there are dangerous snakes in Chicago, I'm sure people will correct me.
You know what? Do we have water moccasins? I think that's a thing. Isn't it?
Is that
water
a snake?
Yeah, that is a snake.
That's a kind of snake? Yeah, I thought that was a thing you wear on your feet.
No, water moccasins. Right. They are dangerous. I know that they, at one point in time, they used to run in the Kankakee River, but that's not Chicago.
No.
So that is something to consider.
So my apologies.
Yeah, it's okay.
For saying nobody in America knows about snakes.
Well, we started that segment by admitting that Americans are ridiculous.
Exactly.
We're all ridiculous.
Exactly.
For asking him about crocodiles.
I just lived up to it.
Yeah.
We said it, and then I just lived up to it. What are you mad about? What are you upset about?
You did live up to it.
Exactly. We are what we said we were. Like Dennis Green said, we are what we said we were.
There it was.
Exactly.
We are the absolute worst. There's no doubt about it. I hate to end on this point, but we had discussed this a lot before the show. And, oh, man, and we talked about it with Michael Cirami, too. But here we go again with Kyle Hendricks. Like, he is just, there's this fragility that's going on with him in terms of, like, inning and two-thirds, 6 runs, 8 hits, 3 walks in that comeback win. That might have been the real story from that game. And what are we doing with Kyle Hendricks? He was saved earlier this year. Do you expect him to be on this roster by the end of this season? Does something have to happen if the Cubs are serious about getting back in this thing?
Like we talked about earlier, their place in the playoff picture right now is so precarious. You can't run him out. Every game is so important. I don't see how you can run him out there and not knowing he can get through 3 innings.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd like to see him survive the season, quite frankly, because as you know, although I want to be optimistic, I've got questions still about these Cubs, and we talked a lot of Cubs at 3 o'clock if you want to go back and check that out on the old Odyssey app. Thank yous to give out to Chris Tannehill. Tanny, thank you, Tanny. Tyler Buterbaugh, you're a beaut. You are a hero, too, for coming in. Thank you. Thank you to Shane Reardon, too. He put the show together. He was still active in the product today. Rami, absolute blast working with you, man.
It was a pleasure. This was very cool
for
me.
Fun.
Thank you, Brody.
I would totally
thank
do
you,
this
Tanny.
Again.
Yes. Buterbaugh.
Awesome stuff. Thanks to Robert Mays, Michael Cirami, and Chris Ranji for joining us. Zach Zabin, or make that Gabe Ramirez. I'm like looking at him right now. Gabe Ramirez has Cubs pregame next here on The Score. Have a great weekend.
I thought Gabe kind of carried the show.
He did. What a voice.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.